All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John, who I believe just got back from a protest against Daily Fantasy Sports being banned, right?
In a manner of speaking.
I don't touch that stuff. It's like lottery tickets.
It's a racket.
Mm-hmm.
It's a racket.
The only way to win is to not play.
Hard enough to beat the vigorous.
Mm-hmm.
Without, like, an extra bookie in between the bookie.
Yeah, somebody middleman bookie taking a cut of your junk. Sorry, buddy.
I like the signs I have seen. There are literal, because New York State has, I know we don't talk about fantasy, but this is gambling, so we can talk about it.
Yes.
The New York State banned DraftKings and FanDuel, but I think it's funny that people are protesting with, like, they're taking our fantasy sports, what's next? It's like, well, they've already, gambling's been taken for a while.
They took our online gambling.
They took our online gambling. What's
we
next?
Said nothing.
They're coming. They're coming for your roto leagues, boys and ghouls.
I jumped on that. Chuck, John, how are we?
I'm good. No, I'm lying. I'm awful.
A little awful.
I am recovering from this week's trip.
It's your own doing.
To Memphis.
Debaucherous trip to Memphis.
It's your birthday. Your Veterans Day.
We did a good little homie trip from Nashville to Memphis in a 15-passenger van with a bunch of what could be classified as functioning alcoholics.
I'm sad I couldn't go, but it's kind of like how like the president, vice president, speaker of the house can't all be on the same plane.
Yeah,
right.
The
like,
three of us.
I had to, we couldn't all be in the same vehicle flying down I-40, I don't think.
Yeah, drinking
during the course
beers.
Of this trip, two phones were lost or broken. Three, if you count that one person managed to break his phone twice.
Memphis ate some phones.
Memphis ate that phone.
Yeah.
Did you guys leave him on the top of the urinal? What?
No. One person was trying to take a selfie and dropped it into his giant beer cup. So he
Silky
deserved
O'Sullivan's.
It.
I witnessed it all. Silky O'Sullivan's.
That happens all the time. Though,
he
I'm
wanted
sure.
to take a picture of the goat tree house. You remember the goat tree house?
Oh, I know. Of course. I'm very familiar.
He's raising his phone high into the air to take a picture of the goat tree house. Drops it from one hand to the other like a magic trick right into it, those giant silky beers. Begins to spout profanities. Another buddy grabs the phone immediately out of there, runs into the kitchen and gets rice.
Went to the kitchen, got some dry rice.
Sticks the phone into rice, saves the phone. Roughly 7 hours later, said derelict stumbles out of an Uber, drops the phone, Uber driver squeals off, drives over phone.
And we find it destroyed on the street in front of our
that
Airbnb.
That's a hilariously
not even the
overwrought
best,
tragedy.
Not even the best phone story.
No.
Another guy on the trip, maybe he's on this podcast, not sure. Maybe it was his birthday. Lost his phone in a drug deal gone bad.
Guys, I didn't get robbed.
You kind of got robbed.
I didn't get robbed.
Did you trade the phone for
items? I was it's a long story. I had a whole event with a girl.
He doesn't really know it either. I don't know.
I know the
no
story.
One believes the girl part.
No, there was a girl and she gave me her number and I was going to try to meet up with her, but she...
He failed.
I failed miserably. And in that quest, I found an older black lady who was trying to help me find...
Street person.
Help me find things. So I followed her around the FedEx Forum from Silky's and ended up in a very sketchy area with no money in my hand.
The Rendezvous Alley?
Yes. It's behind a Catholic church. And then basically I stood there while she took my cash into a building and never returned. And then after that, I ended up getting another call from a random person that I met for procurement purposes. Who I then met in the back alley behind Silky's, sat into his car, acquired what was to be acquired, and left excited to call my friends to let them know that the party would get better. And what in fact happened was I left my phone in his car and we'll never see it again.
And I received from another person's Facebook, "Yo, this Chuck, I at Club 529, come get me."
Well, I think,
and we're already Ernestine Hazel's. I'm like, "Chuck, there are like 10 of us. We cannot come get you. I will call you a cab and you can come here." Chuck, but I think I used some sort of pejorative in there, and Chuck's in such a whacked out paranoid state of mind that because I used a mean word to him, flips out
I lost my
never comes back. Mm-hmm. Beats us back to the house because we went to a couple of other bars. Beats us back to the house, locks everyone out of the house, leaves these insane notes on the front and back doors.
Post-it notes. Basically saying, you're going to sleep in the van tonight. Because in my head, my paranoid head, he's making fun of me.
Oh, he was good. Yeah,
all of them are just like in on the joke, so they all had to suffer.
That's your army training, mm-hmm. setting up the
fort.
The forts and barricading yourself in with post-it notes.
Yeah, bunkered down.
Psychological warfare.
Luckily, somehow Chuck's 260-pound giant ass is not the biggest guy we had.
No.
So we were able to get the silverback to pound on the door until Chuck opened it.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, anyone following along on the Fast Break Break Twitter account probably got a glimpse of Chuck's state of mind.
Mm.
But also with that story, I'm not sure enough of that was coded enough.
Coded?
I think we...
Yeah, we used a lot of vague languages.
That was very explicit.
Well,
there are 9-year-olds who know what you're talking about.
Look, if you listened to us last week, everything I said came true. We broke stuff in the house.
Tammy might be listening.
No one got arrested. No one got arrested.
There was most deaf bad blow. The only thing the only thing that I said that did not happen is we somehow did not wreck that van.
That was it.
Glad you didn't wreck the van. All right, so we're out of control. I love it. Did we have breakfast this morning though?
Nah, man. I woke up still feeling the barbecue shot from the day before. Mm. It's in my guts. I'm going to take me 3 days to process it.
Oh, and also...
You ate a lot of spaghetti.
A lot of barbecue spaghetti.
I also should say that this is a morning recording again for our listeners.
It is.
This is like 3 in a row, and I think we did 2 all of season 1.
Keith, can I do like a 10-second game of scones for you?
Yeah, yeah.
Over, under.
Okay.
$25. How much money did I spend at barbecue shop? Food only.
Well, I don't know how you would... Yeah, over. To be.
That's correct. No.
I spent $35.
This is... there's a better way to ask that question. How much did he spend on one entree item at barbecue shop?
Hopefully $34.99.
He did the $25.99 lunch plate special that would have choked Kristaps Porzingis.
Extra ribs.
I'm one of those.
It's not extra.
I've hit a point in my life when I go to a restaurant that's been recommended or is like a known institution in a city. I look for that. Whatever. If you have a captain's platter, I'm getting it.
I cannot pass up anything.
Oh, $27.99. Okay.
If it says captains, admirals, or ultimate, I'm in.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I had a better meal than all the other guys.
That's how those, although I will say, that's how some of those beach establishments get me. Like, oh, you got an Admiral's platter? I'll take that. Yeah. This isn't good. This was $30.
It's awful.
I had for breakfast a muffin, and my son and I played the daily game of, is that today's coffee cup?
Oh.
Just, like, they're just scattered around. I stick my finger in. I'm like, that's really cold. That was probably not this morning's coffee. Like, I got to find the warmer one.
Oh, no. Brown water games.
John, do you have breakfast?
Well, I tried to get our donuts from the racetrack on the way here.
Right.
Always has the trusty cop guarding.
Last week's cop had taken them all?
This week, he's still guarding that donut stand. But the only thing they had was like the chocolate ones, and I'm not going to even bother because those, like, they get all cracked.
Right.
So that I can actually tell how old they are. Whereas the glazed, I can't tell. So I'll buy those. But I'm not buying the chocolate ones because it was cracked and that white and weird.
Sounds right.
So I bought a fig bar because I thought that sounded like Fig Newtons. Turns out Fig Newtons are different than fig bars. I took a bite and then flung that thing out on.
That's one of those growing up. You had a very delayed growing up adult moment.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. This is not fruit and cake. Fig Newton.
This isn't fruit and cake at all.
All right, after our breakfasts, we move to our breakfast in bed apologies. Do we have anything just in the NBA? Because we haven't even really mentioned the NBA yet. Is there anything we should apologize for in the NBA, or is it all personal things?
I displayed a demonstrable lack of foresight when a podcast or two ago, I decried that Kobe didn't have a documentary team following him around for what could be this historic last season. Wrong, he does.
He knows.
He does, in fact, have a documentary team around, and I can't wait to see it.
They're going to edit it.
I'm sorry I doubted you.
It's going to be juicy.
They're going to do the editing magic like when I cut out you guys' vomits and other horrible noises to the best of my ability during a morning taping.
We had a podcast production meeting, and Keith edits the podcast, and he was basically like, you guys have to do better.
Be less gross.
Be less disgusting.
Like, I don't know what life habits you need to change to be able to sound a little healthier at 10 a.m., but like if we're going to podcast...
I am allergic to your dying cat.
You're allergic to 10 a.m. That's the problem. You wake up and your body shuts down if it's before noon.
I set a new record for podcast tardiness today.
Mm-hmm, 45 solid minutes.
Ooh.
That's impressive. That won't be my steak and eggs. My apology. That won't be my apology.
We may talk about basketball this episode, right?
Back to what I was saying, though. There's only so much you can do through editing. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the two greatest films of all time, which are Some Kind of Monster, the documentary about Metallica, and Eagles about the Eagles. Well, those are PR documentaries.
Right.
Designed to make them look good. In fact, heroic, legendary.
Right.
However... It was impossible.
I
cannot tell you of these four men, Lars Ulrich, James Hetfield, Glenn Frey, and Don Henley, which one's the bigger arsehole, because they are collectively the world's arsehole.
I think in those situations, because you know these artists have such a say in what their image wants to be presented, mm-hmm. and some of the filmmakers are like, are we okay with leaving this scene in? Like, it makes you look horrible. That's what the filmmaker's thinking. Right. And like, James Hetfield's like, no, yeah, that's awesome. Like, people will get that. That's awesome. My apology, bringing it all the way to basketball. I didn't believe in Alec Burks.
I thought
I didn't like what I saw. They extended him a couple years ago when he got hurt. Small sample size, as we say, but so far he's been good. He has really been some of the offense that Jazz team needs. The no point guard lineup that the Jazz has been throwing out, the Gobert, Favors, Hayward, Burks, and Rodney Hood,
mm-hmm.
killing people.
Yeah.
Just killing people while they're out there.
Objection.
So, yes,
John. Clearly, Your Honor, my client, Keith Parrish, confused Alec Burks with the singular Trey Burke.
No. Trey Burke, honestly.
Also been doing well.
You know what?
Never mind. I rest my case.
Scratch that apology to Alec Burks. I apologize to Trey Burke, who I spent a lot of time last year
thinking,
making fun of. No, that too. There is no argument that last year Trey Burke had a historically terrible shooting season. Mm-mm. I think he was the first player in 50 years. I don't remember what the cutoffs were. The first player in 50 years to shoot under 38% on like 1,200 shots or something. Mm-hmm. That could be wrong, but it was historically bad. He is now off the ball a lot. He is not shooting threes off the dribble and creating like he had to last year. He's catching and shooting this year. He obliterated my Grizzlies, I think 6 of 7 from downtown, all on catch and shoots. He's shooting an incredible percentage. So I'll move my apology from Burks to Burke.
Mm.
Covered all your Burke bases.
I did.
Gonna buy some Birkenstock. I think.
Uncle
Chuck
approved.
Yeah. So my apology is to Grizzlies fans. As a Miami Heat fan, I want to say I'm sorry for the heartbreak and suffering that Mario Chalmers will bring back to the city of Memphis after so many years ago crushing and destroying the basketball hopes of
the Memphis Tigers.
That fine town.
So this is good. So we'll say that wraps up the apologies. We need to take a little moment right now. This is I'm going to keep using the word historic. This is a historic week for our podcast. Our podcast consists solely of Grizzlies and a Heat fan. Two Grizzlies fans, John and myself, and Chuck is the Heat fan. Our teams underwent a trade, which by any basketball metric is meh.
Yes.
Oh.
But so, for us,
we may marvelous. Talk about the rest of so, this for the rest of the episode.
So I would like
Chuck
to say...
Chuck was so crestfallen when he found out that Rio wasn't playing on Wednesday.
When I found out he's suiting up...
Oh, you thought you were going to see Rio in Memphis.
For sure, and I did not, and I was sad.
Now, Chuck, as a Heat fan, there's no question this trade makes your team worse, right?
On paper, not knowing... Really, Jurnell Stokes is
nothing.
So if we take
Jurnell Stokes will be in the D League or a free agent by not too long.
by nightfall. So
Fortnite,
Febtober.
Febtober. Smarch. No, he'll be, yeah, okay, so then it's a cheaper, Beno? I don't even know. No.
Beno's fine. Beno is also fine.
Beno?
Yeah.
Beno. I still don't know. What's his name? Drogix.
He's going to love the nightlife.
No, it'll be, I think, a less...
Tyler Johnson.
Less athletic Tyler Johnson.
Right, well, Tyler Johnson is killing it. And he was passing Mario Chalmers.
That's why the trade happened.
It's one of the...
We'll play him more.
Let's be real.
Let's save some money.
The trade happened was for money.
Yeah, Mickey Arison was tired of cutting them big boy checks without having LeBron on the team. So, yeah.
I mean, Chalmers actually had a very good defensive year so far this year. The lineup with Winslow and Chalmers playing together, the backup lineup, has an incredible defensive rating. Actually, yeah. The Heat overall, I think, are number one in defensive rating currently as of this taping. So I'm curious. Bano is terrible at defense. He's a mid-range assassin, also a lady killer.
Yeah,
moving down to Miami. I saw him at that some Grizzlies event wearing his aviators, and I was
South Beach. Yeah.
Okay, now.
He made you a little bi-curious, didn't he?
That's happened.
Here's the deal. I'm not excited about 9% three-point shooting Diamond Rio Chalmers.
Right.
But I like that we snuck James Ennis in the back door.
That's actually my...
Coming on the heels of the bi-curious joke, I just raised my eyebrows.
No, he did.
That's all. We're moving on.
Bringing it back.
Zoinks?
That was the one player I was super excited about last season before the season started, and he played 4 minutes a game. But James Ennis is a long 6'8" wing defender who kind of shot better.
He's actually a league average. He's like in his, the amount of time he's been on the court, he's an average, like 32%, 31%. Just an average 3-point shooter.
But he can throw it down.
But he's long. He can jump. And he'll give you guys the effort. He puts in the effort on defense.
I'd like to have a little James Johnson Jr.
Right.
That could be the guy.
When he gets in. The only problem is, as a Grizzlies fan, we're always in this scenario of anytime a player is acquired, we say, oh, he could be, in the future, someone that could really help the Grizzlies out. But we know they've never, ever, ever...
That's never materialized.
That's never happened.
It's always been like, hope. But that's the beauty of the trade.
That is the beauty of the trade.
It is only hope.
So Chalmers, I think the Beno was so bad defensively. And again, in the offseason, we were worried, this is a man who kind of has an every other good year streak going. He was coming off a good year, and then he had ankle surgery in the offseason, and he's not known for conditioning. That's one of the reasons the Spurs got rid of him.
Coming from a fat person, for an NBA player, he was kind of fat. He's out of shape.
So him being old, him coming off surgery, him not being known for conditioning, I think it was obvious coming into the year, and we talked about it a lot. That's going to be a big hole, and you only have Rusticulus else back there, so they need a backup point guard. So you get Chalmers. Chalmers can actually shoot a three-pointer, which Beno doesn't, and he
not
doesn't
right
even,
now. He can't.
Well, so no, I didn't say he can make a three-pointer.
He can take them.
I say he can take them. He can Matt Barnes style take them, which we're in the unfortunate situation for the Grizzlies. Hey, we'll take it. Just someone who will shoot that every now and then someone will run out to, maybe that'll open some things up. But he isn't a penetrator. He isn't a creator.
He's not a finisher at the rim. He's sneaky around the baseline and getting around defenders, but there's no finish for Chalmers at the
rim. I'm just worried, who's going to scream at him all the time on the Grizzlies team? Is that going to be Zach's
that's Sebo. No, we already told when we were at Silky's, we talked to the bartender, and we kind of came to the conclusion that Mario's going to be picking up the Swisher Sweets for Zeebo.
Yeah. Break at the up that cigarillo now.
All right, so I think that was our little aside. We needed to talk about that trade, and we'll probably get back to it a little bit in the Grizzlies epilogue. But now back to format. Steak and eggs, gentlemen. What is your steak and eggs best thing that you saw this week?
Well, I was in Memphis, Tennessee.
As we've said, yes.
As it's been covered. And we got to witness one of the greatest players of his generation, the wonderful Steph Curry, put on a clinic, effectively, circus shots, great ball handling, wonderful, beautiful.
The things that man did at the end of the third quarter, I find to be
offensive.
I found morally violated.
Yes.
You should.
The Grizzlies were getting back in the game at various points, and then he would hit a stumbling, thrown over the back of his head, half-court bank shot.
The 35-foot falling down bank shot, trying to draw a foul, just crushing. And at that moment, it brought back the shades of the 60-foot, the non-foul call, 60-foot buzzer beater in game six of the Western Conference semifinals. But then, as if that one little running bank shot and all the other scoring he was doing wasn't enough, finished the third quarter by stealing the ball from poor Russ Stikulis and then pulling up from 40 feet and
drilling.
If you could have paused the world and taken like a real-time bet, if your app could have uploaded, gentlemen, we're going to pause the world. Right. Buffalo Wild Wings style.
Yeah.
We're turning it off.
Right.
What do you think the Vegas line might have been for that shot going in?
Upon release.
Yeah, no, I just
from his hand.
Just upon
even
Steph, Steph pulling up. I would say it would be like +200, +220. Like if he makes it, you cash.
Yeah.
Like everyone knew that shot was going in. No. He has entered a plane. Steph Curry is. It's unparalleled. I mean, we're now.
There's the famous like Larry Bird game against the Hawks. Well, the Hawks players were giving each other high fives.
Right.
Well. We were deep into a Grizzlies fan section, and there were Grizzlies fans giving each other high fives over Steph Curry.
So he hits that draw foul bank shot,
right.
Gorgeousness, and I just look at John's behind me, and I just look over my shoulder and look at him. His mouth's like wide open,
right?
And I peered through the whole crowd, and people are like literally covering their faces. And shaking their head in disbelief, and everybody was like, "What just happened?"
Yeah,
it was like an unbelievable moment to watch.
I am a psychotic heckler,
right?
Like borderline inappropriate.
There were children around us. I had to tell them.
Been thrown out of plenty of arenas in my day. Not welcome at Nashville Sounds minor league baseball games, and it shut me up multiple times.
Yeah, there is nothing.
Nothing you can say. Texted me this morning actually asking is what Steph is doing, say if you morphed or you ported Allen Iverson into present day with the no hand checking, do you think that Steph is better now or Allen Iverson this day?
Well, Iverson never shot the three as well as Steph.
Steph is a much better player than Allen Iverson ever was.
Oh, so and defensively, I would give Steph on effort. The nod over Iverson.
And that was my take, was even though the 90s were rough and hand-checked, defenses were actually a lot simpler. They weren't as motivated or as complex back then.
Yeah, complex with back, you know,
and what Curry is doing is people are having to guard him from 35 feet in, and he's still got that handle. I guess the only difference would maybe like, he might have gotten punched in the face in the 90s.
Probably. They would have.
Just the injury might have been.
Greg Anthony would have DDT'd him.
Because Allen Iverson was tough, hardy. He took so much hits and kept going. But also, he's not that range. No one would guard him out.
No. And he was also the fastest player on the court for 5 years in the NBA. And while Steph Curry's an athletic player,
he's not at all.
He is not nearly an Allen Iverson athletically.
But I just think what we're seeing from Steph so far this season and last season is almost unparalleled. Just the combination of the handle and then maybe the best shot ever and the range on it is just, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
He's the best shooter. He's probably a top five passer. While he's not a great defender, he's kind of, to bring up Larry Bird again, he's like an awesome help defender. Mm-hmm. He understands the system he's in.
And their team defense is so good that the point guard being a great defender isn't even that. It's like the least crucial because you have all those guys back there helping you out. Big man Festus.
He got eaten alive.
that's the thing. The Grizzlies played their game. They kept it to a score of their liking for most of the game. Grizzlies didn't even play that poorly. It wasn't like the 50-point blowout. And they still lost by like 16 points. So, I mean,
that'll happen when your backcourt goes 3 for 27 or whatever it was. My steak and eggs best thing, speaking of the Warriors, second year man still getting a little hazed, James Michael McAdoo, he had to buy his Warriors teammates breakfast at McDonald's. Ran up a nice little $112 tab, which honestly,
that's a steal.
That's not that much.
For that much weight?
Like
that's not even what Chuck spent at his Bang Bang Arby's McDonald's
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He did on
the
way.
Oh, we forgot to tell you guys.
Okay.
When we were riding to Memphis, we hit up Arby's. I got a beef and cheddar. And
35 minutes later, we went to McDonald's.
We had to stop. Somebody had to go to the bathroom. So I was like, look, we're at McDonald's. So I took a McDouble and a four-piece chicken nugget. And I put the chicken nuggets in the McDouble and killed it. Had some bird
McNugget
and some bird and some beef killing the game.
Sorry to interject.
Sorry to interject.
Felt that's, like it had to
that's
be.
Gross. All right.
It must be said, for me, Wes Matthews returned from injury.
Inspiring.
It had been slow, but he had his breakout performance finally. I think he had like 25 points, 27 points, six assists, rebounds, a steal. He had a stat. He basically stuffed the stat sheet, played 33 minutes in that game. It's just good to see him back. Because that was a tough injury to watch, you know. Potentially cost him millions. He still got paid.
And it did not cost him anything, as it turned out.
Right.
He still got paid, but we had to wonder, is this going to work out?
And so far, the returns are great, and you're happy for Wes Matthews. You're also happy for the Mavericks. They did take a risk.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Over, air quote, overpaying for Wes Matthews. But
and they got to spank that heathen turncoat DeAndre this week.
Oh, that
that promo, could be another great thing.
The ESPN promo for the DeAndre, it was... So take a look at me now. That DeAndre Jordan. Oh my goodness.
Something like that.
And they used. And the editing.
Against all odds.
Against all odds.
Against all odds. I'm trying to think of the title.
They played the little Phil Collins for DeAndre's
Phil
return.
Phil Collins. It was wonderfully edited because it just had like these, you know, distraught looks of Mark Cuban and Dirk Nowitzki looking sad.
Mark Cuban angrily touched, looking at his cyber dust.
Releasing texts.
Yeah, and it was just beautifully, it felt like, you know, in a montage in a high school, you know, rom-com or something.
I know this is a little scattered and smothered.
We're so scattered. Yeah. It's all right.
The Clippers don't look impressive to me with regards to how I thought they were going to come out.
That second unit, man. Whoa. Also, that locker room, you still wonder if Chris Paul... And Chris Paul's not hasn't been playing, so it's hard to tell.
That is true, and is there any bigger downgrade than Chris Paul to Glenn's kid?
Austin Rivers has started a couple games in the last week, and you couldn't tell it by his stats. Like, when he comes off the bench... He scores more and does more. When he plays 16 minutes a game, right. It's like, oh, he got 9 points. And
yeah, he's an empty stats guy.
And then it's like, oh, you played 38 minutes last night?
Right.
And 9 points when you want to say, like, what in the world are you doing out there?
I had like one of those old timey, like, have a hat with like the word press stuck in it type moments last night where like I'm sitting at the equivalent of the gambling window. I have bet on the Clippers inexplicably and didn't realize that Chris Paul was not playing.
Or J.J. Redick.
So I'm watching, and I'm like, oh, what is Austin Rivers doing in there already?
Why is Pablo Prigioni starting?
Right. I'm like, what? Ah. So I'm upset. And then when Blake gets his second technical, I just tear up the gambling ticket and throw it in the air, like in some sort of like, you know, Robert Sturgis, Phil Preston Sturgis movie. Yeah. Just like, ah, yakety schmackety do. I need to go get my racing form.
All right, so those were our steak and eggs, and very scattered and smothered as we are. What's the opposite of that? What is your cream of wheat, worst of week? I'll start. Speaking of that, I was reminded of this in that Suns-Clippers game where Brandon Knight, I think, had 37. Brandon Knight throughout the season, and then also comparing it to the Bucks, who are trash.
Straight trash.
Can we revisit that? Michael Carter Williams and giving away Brandon Knight because he didn't want to extend him, but we all know it was extended to those old salary cap rates, and we know with the that he's locked in and he looks good, and it seems like the Bucks would very much like to have
some offense, a touch of offense.
Grievous Vasquez, who I was looking forward to this year, thought might be a kind of an X factor for the Bucks. Atrocious.
He now no longer provides an offense with a downgraded defense. He provides a nothingness.
Literally nothing. So my worst is thinking about how the Bucks gave away Brandon Knight because they didn't want him for some reason. And that just seems like
length and wingspan.
Yeah, they wanted length.
Well, my worst of the week is far worse than that. And it's pandemic. It's not going away. It's getting worse. The instant replay system.
I thought you were going to say kicking your leg out on a jump shot.
Look.
But yours is right as well.
Look, you can take my precious time. You can extend the games. You can portend to take the human element out of the game, although you certainly have not, because you're still missing the calls, referees. But what you cannot do is take away my Kristaps Porzingis game-winning threes.
Oh, my.
You may not do that. I draw the line.
There's been a lot of Porzingis love on the Fast Break Breakfast group chat.
Kristaps Porzingis, I would say, is probably the greatest athlete I've ever seen.
I would say it extends beyond our group chat to the basketball world at large. Everyone is crazy about him, and rightly so.
There isn't a snappy name for, like, Linsanity. Can we say Porzinsanity? Porzingisanity? Porzingis?
I don't know, yeah.
Sometime listener, Austin Gramps Gray, who doesn't really watch the NBA, but somehow cares enough to listen in sometimes. He has readied me. When and if, and God let this be a never answered if, Kristaps Porzingis fails, we can call him Piss Flaps.
I'm struggling to think of
as a Heat fan, I will call him Piss Flaps.
I was struggling to think of a bigger buildup to a worse payoff in recent memory.
Quite the pregnant pause.
Yeah, it really was. Chuck, mm-hmm. You have a cream of wheat.
Yeah. The worst thing that happened in the last week, it was you.
Besides being robbed in a drug deal gone wrong?
Just trying to sell some Grizz tickets.
I was trying to sell some Grizz tickets. So the worst thing that happened, and I'm going to apologize to our listeners. This is the worst thing. I ate Taco Bell on the air last week.
This is kind of an apology, but please continue.
It's kind of an apology.
It's needed.
But it was the worst thing that ever happened, and I apologize, and it's never going to happen again. I had a AM Crunchwrap country style breakfast version, and it made me sad and sick. And I want everyone to have heard me say eat that, know that I'm sad, and I don't want to ever make you sad again.
That was the worst, and it works also as a belated apology. Okay, so now we've been in it. We've been going crazy this morning.
Chuck has that post-hangover depression going.
Oh, man, it's been for 2 days. Awful.
All right, so now let's get to our Waffle House presents. Cocked it back to Waffle House presents scattered, smothered, covered thoughts. Speaking of selling tickets, I got to tell you, people, I recommend having a Twitter account with, say,
1,350
followers. Yeah, right now we have like 1,300 followers. Because not only did Comcast send me a iPad for no reason, perhaps other than I had that many followers, StubHub. So my Grizzlies tickets, I believe StubHub screwed up. Right. And they wanted me to upload them earlier than the Grizzlies would allow me to upload the tickets, because NBA teams are they're fighting StubHub. They want,
they want no part. They have their own StubHubs.
Right. So my sale was canceled. I was charged a fee, and I go into StubHub. I'm like, listen, you told me I've sold a lot of tickets without any problem. Now I have a problem because you wanted this wrong. And they're like, I'm sorry, you screwed up. You owe us, this amount of money. And I'm like, that's it. I'm out. Like I've told, I'm a season ticket holder. I will sell more. And the person was like, yeah, whatever. Cool. Ooh. So then I tweeted, StubHub is dead to me.
This sounds heated.
Well, I tweeted StubHub is dead to me. Mm-hmm. Well, guess who got their money back? StubHub's like, yeah, cool. We gave your money back.
Did you get that guy fired, Keith?
No.
Keith, did you get hopefully. That man fired?
Hopefully.
Take a look.
I'm just
at
saying. Boys and girls, get a Twitter account with a lot of followers. It's been paying, man. It's been paying good.
And you can buy those followers, too.
I've heard.
It's a way to earn this.
It is. There's a way to earn it. So scattered, smothered, covered. I think we need to mention Jimmy Butler. Mm. If you didn't see it this week, we put it on our Facebook page.
He's made a strange purchase.
If you're not following our Facebook page, you're missing out on some extra little quirks. But anyway, he now has a giant boombox aquarium.
6,000 pounds.
Anything over 200, Chuck, it's heavy.
Just the same.
I don't know that. But yes, it's enormous. It is larger than many people.
It's a lot of salt water.
I assume it's Bluetooth ready.
Taffy.
I'm guessing they're not going in with an HDMI cable
or anything. Like just that the aux in.
Yeah, they're not doing like a simple plug in.
This is my clownfish His name is Scotty. This is my eel.
My other clownfish.
That's Bill Cartwright.
I wish his clownfish.
He's a turtle.
What are the insane clown posse's names?
Special J?
How would anyone
Violent,
know?
Violent J and Shaggy Two Dope.
This should be his clownfish name.
Magnus.
If I ever get rich enough to have fish, so I'm naming them after ICP.
I was wondering, you know how credit card companies have like fraud control when you make a weird purchase?
Do I ever?
Yeah, so how does it work with NBA players? Because I was thinking about one, like, oh, James Michael McAdoo, you spend $100. Like, if I spend $100 at McDonald's, Capital One will call me.
That's an excellent point. Like, I am a musician, so I will sometimes buy expensive pieces of musical equipment.
Right.
And they'll turn my card off and humiliate me in front of everyone. How does that not get you? I got my credit card turned off for buying too many pizzas once.
So my favorite one. Well, I got a couple, I guess. So one, I eat lunch at a sports bar every Sunday during the NFL season. Mm-hmm. Lunch cost like $12.
Yeah.
I tipped, I think, $5 or $4. Mm-hmm. Capital One calls me. They send an email. Hey.
You don't usually tip like that.
Like, you tipped 34%. And I'm like, it's $4. Like, I sat there for 4 hours, you know, like it almost was cheap.
Yeah,
and
it's a bad tip, actually.
And so I was like, well, the place is not crowded, for one. So I thought that was funny. And then another one, I think I might have mentioned it before. Near the holiday season, I made a charitable contribution.
Unbelievable.
Capital One shut it down. They're like, they just canceled the purchase. They were like, no, this seemed like a unnatural purchase.
They were right.
Like you gave money to Red Cross. We canceled that. Was that on purpose? I'm like, I guess not. This seems like a sign. I shouldn't have done it.
Nope.
So, yep.
Scrooge McDuck in full effect.
So yeah, check out that Jimmy Butler aquarium. Another funny thing this week, not funny, amazing. Jacob Rosen on Twitter points out Mo Williams, Cleveland Cavaliers Mo Williams. He's the first player since 85-86, as far as back as Basketball Reference will take us, to have 29 points, 6 boards, and 6 assists on only 9 shot attempts.
What in the hay now?
That is crazy.
That's a lot of free throws.
It's crazy.
That's Harden-esque free throw shooting.
And it's all, I think he was 4 or 5 from downtown. Speaking of 4 or 5 from downtown, Boogie did that again.
All right, are we going to talk about the George Karl Boogie thing? Like,
sure.
Are you putting it off? What's going on here?
I am putting it off. Who cares? They can't even move the needle for me. It's just craziness.
I just don't understand how Boogie thinks he has the license to go cuss out an old cancer survivor when he shot 5 for 20
in
that game.
He did have 5 for 20. He at least has handlers now who are teaching him to apologize immediately.
Is that handler's name Rajon Rondo?
Well, I don't know.
I think it might be.
Rajon Fantasy God Rondo.
Yeah, we could apologize to him.
We could. So also, and also not counting the, because he apologized for cussing out George Karl.
Then no, apparently, what he said was like, was that too much?
Well, that's
after
the insider story.
Man cry.
He asked his teammates if that's too much, and apparently
was that too much?
Apparently, Caron Butler and Omri Caspi were like, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
And then George Karl wants to suspend him.
Yeah.
And then Divac says, no.
Sorry.
You know, here's what Vlade Divac said. He said, no, George.
So then apparently the report is that Divac then asked the players,
should I fire Karl?
It's crazy. That's all we can. It's just crazy out there.
The inmates are running the asylum.
And then there was a really funny video of Boogie leaves Costa Koufos hanging. Like, mm-hmm. Costa goes for a high five, and Boogie doesn't look at him. Mm-hmm. So Costa, being the pretty funny guy he is, does a self high five and a little gunshot in the air type thing. It's pretty funny. But then again,
did you get all melancholy when you saw that?
A little bit.
You missed it.
Got a little misty. Oh. But then Boogie tweets out an apology. So he's doing he's a crazy person. Boogie's a crazy person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
But he is doing the, oh, I apologize. If I keep apologizing, everyone will keep believing me, and I'll keep living my life the way I'm living it.
It seems from this that he's crazy, but has moments of clarity where he may listen to people, and then they come in at the right time and get him to do what he's supposed to do to not look like a monster.
Well, I mean,
like so many podcasts,
he does have day after remorse.
Yeah.
Oh no.
But I mean, it's clear.
I'm not even calling Chuck anymore. Chuck is now Boogie on this podcast. Mm,
I'd take it. Give it to me.
I would say it's clear in the moment. He still cannot. He can't control himself. I mean, he's just, he's a terror, but
I understand that.
Well, Boogie, can we talk about your Miami Heat now?
Sure.
They're kind of fun.
They're very fun.
Chris Bosch is playing out his mind.
He looks great.
He's taken over. He's like taking the same elixir that Dwayne Wade has, because he is like spanking shots off the glass, and you know, he's not just playing sort of a finesse game. He's playing a kind of a gritty down low defense. Like, I don't understand what's happening. Is this the Justice effect?
Justice is good.
I think a big thing, honestly, is so he was sick last year. He missed basically the second half of the season. When you've played four finals in a row, it wears on your legs, and I think
he needed the time off.
He needed some rest, and you know, I feel terrible that horrible medical scare happened to him, but it's kind of helped him look better and more spry, and took, you know, maybe another year off of his, you know, his age on the court.
And I think a big story is it is that bench unit. It's Justice is playing a lot. I can't call him Justice. I have to call him Justice.
Okay.
And Tyler Johnson, who we already mentioned, He's killing it.
He's solid.
Killing it off the bench.
They have a decent.
But they're a lot of fun. They are the anti-Grizz. They are so much more fun.
Here's where I'm kind of hopeful. Goran hasn't even played well.
Goran's been terrible. Yeah.
So when he kind of either figures out the system or, you know, gets out of this doldrum that he's in, they could be a dangerous team and not just a fun team.
They're hanging with everybody right now, and that's with, like, I still think, like, watching Hassan and Goran out there, I'm like, what are these guys doing? Mm-hmm. But everyone else seems to be a cohesive unit. And Whiteside's still putting up great numbers.
He's putting up great numbers. His, you know, defensive rating's great. He's, you know, top two or three in blocks per game. And
he still gives up a lot. It's like he either blocks it or he just stands there and lets someone score on him.
Yeah.
So it's still up and down.
There's a little half
and
half. He is an opportunistic.
And I will temper the praise by saying they've played most of their games at home.
Right, that is true.
So I mean, they've looked good at home.
It's a huge home court advantage when the other team has definitely gone out the night before.
Yeah, and went to live on Sunday.
I want to talk about briefly the Detroit Pistons and the specifically maybe a game of the week, or at least it's fun to watch, the Blazers Pistons game, mm-hmm. where Reggie Jackson was at 26 in the fourth, and so I'm watching this game. I didn't have sound on. I watched it the next morning actually, because it was a late one.
Yes,
old Buddy Budinger keeps me up. I mean, puts me down. Speaking of,
yeah, Budinger.
I need to shout.
Business.
I need not Budinger. Oh, okay. The fake Budinger, my Budinger.
Oh, got it.
Uh-huh. Speaking of, I got to mention, little guy turned 1 year old today. Right now is his birthday.
No, it's not.
Also the 1 year anniversary of the Courtney Lee 3/10 of a second.
I remember that
shot,
which I'm stunned that they allowed to stand because they are game winning moment. Robbery sons of so-and-so.
It's true. There's no celebration because instant replay makes you wait for minutes to decide if you had any joy.
Mm-hmm. And how can... And I'm going back to my worst of the week. The clock starts funny.
What do you mean?
They started the clock before he threw the ball in.
Oh, on the Kristaps?
Yes, so it should have counted
anyway. I haven't seen the slum. I've only seen the replay from
a few times. Look, if it looks like a game-winning shot, it's a game-winning shot.
I understand some of that.
They don't need to do this.
I know it was the Reggie Miller shot where he won the playoff game, but the ball was still in his hands, and that was the impetus between the change.
Right.
But now after experiencing it, it's
karmically
sound.
The
out of bounds, every out of bounds call review, reviewing the flagrant fouls, the clear path foul, I'm almost like, I don't care anymore. Just call them whatever.
And they still get it wrong half of the time.
Just make it up as you go. Anyway,
Let me say something else. They take away that game winning shot, but then they don't catch like Carmelo Anthony running out of bounds.
Oh, that was bad.
What the hell are they doing?
That was bad. But I don't want to. We're taking away the Pistons' time in the sun.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And those Pistons,
they're still playing well. Andre Drummond, have his shoulders always been that hairy?
Well, he's definitely not narrowing them any longer.
Is that? That's the verb, naring.
Naring.
No longer naring.
That might have been hard to hear.
Well, when you're that much of a man.
Just pure testosterone.
It's all just steeping through your pores.
He's the embodiment of testosterone.
He is. He's
gamma irradiated.
You wouldn't like him when he's Andre.
No, I was saying before I got distracted with my son's birthday, that won't happen again.
Dare you.
I was watching the Reggie Jackson game the morning after, and I didn't have the sound on. Like, it was real low. I didn't even realize he had that many points. It was just him driving to the bucket, and it seemed like all the bigs were too scared to leave Drummond, who had a 29 and 27 masterpiece. He just kept getting to the bucket for layups, and then I think it was 41 to 11 in the fourth. It was master stroke of just
incredible.
Know, this is crazy Stan, basketball. This is Stan Van's greatest mixtape of all.
It is.
Stan Van's dream. All right. Now it's time for the awards segment of the evening.
I have a feeling I know who's winning this week.
I'll tell you, people wanted it this week.
Yeah.
The Stackhouse of Pancakes was fiercely and hotly contested.
The word is out.
I feel like a lot of the guys in the league, they were like, you know what? I got this.
Mm-hmm. You come for that stack, you best
they're
not
they're
miss.
Coming for it. There were 3 for 14s, 4 for 17s, flying all over the place. Boogie's 5 for 20. People were throwing up trash at that goal. However, I've narrowed it down to 3 nominees in chronological order as they occurred during the week. First, in a victory against the Brooklyn Nets. By the way, I haven't announced who my East team might
it
be this year.
Be the Brooklyn Nets.
No,
they are pathetic.
I have watched
awful.
I have watched maybe more of the Nets than any other East team. I keep watching their games, just kind of like, what's going on
you
here?
Have you have a Lionel Hollins father figure thing.
No, I think he just has this like a morbid curiosity.
It's a morbid curiosity, and then I'm like, are they really this bad? And they were winning that game. Anyway,
they're putrid.
Grievous Vasquez in this victory against the Nets. Grievous Vasquez, who I think 20% on the year. I didn't look that up. I should. 0 for 10, 1 point. Basketball Reference, the game score. He was a -4.7, which I think might be the lowest game score anyone's done this year. All right, next in the week, just a couple days ago, Elfrid Payton.
There it is.
In the buzzer-beating win.
This is the one.
Where Vucevic nailed the buzzer beater against the Lakers. He was 1 for 13, 0 for 2 from the line. And according to Danny LaRue of the Real GM, he was pointing out that all but one of those 13 shots were within 8 feet of the bucket.
Watch that game. Worst shooting performance I have seen.
He did, however, fill it up.
I don't care.
With 10 rebounds, 8 assists, and only 1 turnover. And then our final nominee, first-time nominee, Mike Conley. You guys saw this in person.
Yep.
Mike Conley, 1 for 12, 4 turnovers. He had 4 points. He did have 9 assists. Our nominees are Grievous, 0 for 10, 1 point.
This is very hard.
Elfrid, 1 for 13. With 2 points, and then Mike Conley, 1 for 12, 9 assists. I'll make my vote. I think it's Mike Conley.
Well, we saw it in person.
And you guys saw it in person. Just look at the box score.
Do you remember how bad it looked on TV? Way worse in the arena. Way worse.
Like, that was really bad, but I also watched that Magic game, and like, they were allowing Elfrid Payton to shoot because they knew he was going to miss it.
For me,
I haven't really seen it except for Tony Allen.
For me, the 10 boards, 8 assists, 1 turnover. I
understand.
It moves me also with Grievous with this grotesque, perhaps the worst game played this year.
0 for 10?
0 for 10, 1 point.
That's insane.
That's this is
insane.
Impossible.
It is impossible.
This is very impossible.
Do you have any Dungeons and Dragons dice? Do you have a 3-sided dice?
When it's this close, I have to go with who I consider to be the best player.
Ah,
because it's more
so Grievous Vasquez,
right? I would when three players stink that bad, I have to go with the one that put on an abnormal performance and because that's for the historical.
So you're saying
purposes.
Mike Conley too?
And they lost,
yeah. And they
so
lost.
Let's make it
okay.
A
so we'll
Conley.
We'll make it Mike Conley. I have a max contract on the table, and I'm working my way out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, you're not playing around.
It's Jordan Clarkson money.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
heard that
our par fadeaway. Let's get out of here. What are we looking forward to this coming week?
Chuck and I are looking forward to listening to a song over and over and over again on repeat.
There's the greatest song that's ever been made about basketball. It's called White Iverson by a specific artist named Post Malone. So we've got two kind of basketball names together. It's wonderful. It's basically a 4-minute or whatever how long ode to Allen Iverson's life.
Sure.
And one of the lines says, that's my shot, that's my shot, that's my shot. Yeah. I'm spending all my effing pay.
Watch out, oh, watch out, oh, watch out, yeah. That's my smash out, I smash out, ayy. Spending, I'm spending on my f***ing pay.
Which doesn't rhyme, but is explicitly Iversonian.
It's a gambling reference.
We've got all sorts of drops, like we mentioned
F practice,
which is a great one.
I get it.
He talks about his sleeve.
Are we talking about practice?
Talks about his sleeve. We've got James Harden, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis references.
My favorite reference is he at one point talks about Shaqton.
Yeah. And doesn't say Shaqton the Fool. He just says here's Shaqton.
He be Shaqton.
Shaqton. So if you have any interest in basketball,
I'm ready to lobby for it to replace our theme song.
It should be our theme song. We should put that up on Twitter.
We're not throwing Codaphonic under the bus because Codaphonic has really helped us out.
They've been there.
Thumbs up, Cody.
Thumbs up.
No, I get you. But this could it be our outro music from now on? I'm just saying, if there's some way.
Work it in this week.
We'll look into it. You acquire the rights and we'll get it in.
At the end of the day.
I don't think this guy's. I've seen a picture of him. I don't think he's registered his music.
No.
He looks like James Franco from Spring Breakers, only somehow worse.
Yeah, if you could make that less cartoonish and more sad.
But he has like NBA autism, and I respect it.
No.
And please listen to it. Post Malone, White Iverson.
Probably going to be famous.
That sounds good. I'm looking forward to, I guess the thing I'm looking forward to is, will the league just keep being bunched up of kind of no one's clearing themselves out except for the Warriors? The Spurs are also great. Everyone else is chinks in the armor, just really struggling. Not like no one's, as a Grizzlies fan, I find myself like, oh, well, they're only two games back from everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like, it'll be all right.
That's your, that is your silver lining there.
That is my silver lining.
I do think it seems like you're kind of focusing on the Western there, because I do think Cleveland and Atlanta look very, very good.
That is true. And I sometimes do not turn my gaze to the East.
Yes. I feel a West, the Hawks a West are good. Coast bias here.
The Hawks and Cavs, again, I think they're very good. They also they haven't played anybody.
That's extremely true with the Hawks. But Cleveland's dominating some teams too.
So. Cleveland looks great. Yeah. I still think they're, you know, they're probably them Spurs and the Warriors are the three team where we're like, wow.
Well, yeah.
They're for real.
But the East, like, usually I look at the East, I'm like, oh, what a bunch of trash. But with the rise of Detroit and, you know, Chicago staying good and Miami being
at least there's not as many.
There's a kind of a logjam of
decent
medium
teams.
To good teams.
No, I know, and I am watching it. I was being somewhat facetious, right. But because it's going to be interesting. I think the playoff race is going to be very interesting to see how those mid-level teams, the Hornets, keep playing really well. Like, keep shooting the three, making all these threes.
It's insane.
Can you believe that the Oklahoma City Thunder had Reggie Jackson and Jeremy Lamb at one point?
Oh, man. They could have
not even talking about Harden.
What are they doing?
They have so many good players, just giving them away.
Presti.
All right.
How'd you guys get the only bad Oklahoma City trade away? You guys ended up with the only player that Oklahoma City traded that didn't end up good.
I think if you see what's the common denominator, they ended up on the Grizzlies. I don't think it's you should be looking at the Grizzlies, not the Thunder in that situation. All right, so stick around. We're going to talk Grizzlies just briefly after this, but thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter so we keep getting these great benefits from all these corporations. Loving it.
Tweet at us.
Tweet at us at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook. Write us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. So thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, Grizzlies epilogue. It's been a bad week.
Grizzly.
It's been, I got real excited. I texted you guys this week. Grizzly, Grisly. Get it?
Could be gristly as well.
Yeah, if you get some of that bad barbecue.
If you get some Jermichael Green stuck in your teeth.
So
it was strangely a frustrating, but somehow hopeful week.
A week of moral victories.
Yes.
I heard, I'd put it at 30 times, some Grizz writer, radio host, analyst say, now, I don't believe in moral victories.
But you do.
But I was encouraged.
I will espouse them.
So this is, and it's true. Everyone is Because in the first few losses, it was shut it down. Like right. It was, oh, we're down by 20. Let's just not even get back on defense. And I'm ready to go home. So in the Jazz game, you had a rally. And then in the Clippers game, you played them close.
Oh, man, that Clippers, the way they lost. I texted it after Mark missed the free throw after an amazing sequence of plays to get us in that position.
Hilarious sequence of plays.
You know, he misses the free throw on purpose, gets his own rebound, scores while being fouled. You know, misses the free throw. And I texted something to Keith where I was like, I haven't felt this bad after a loss in a long time. And Keith just wrote back all caps, I feel nothing.
I really don't know. Maybe it's – so there's like – there's somehow having a kid has opened all my emotions and I now weep in movies and like I can't watch TV shows where like children or like moms are in danger and like I'm now sensitive. However, on sports, maybe it's just growing up, I'm watching the Grizzlies getting trashed. I'm like, you're not gonna ruin my day.
What? Yeah.
Like,
what?
I'm gonna play Xbox.
Mm-hmm. What is it about having a kid that brings sudden and strange emotions?
No, it just gives it just you
does.
Perspective.
It gives you perspective
yeah,
and you're
like, oh no, there's something that actually matters.
But does it, Chuck? Does it give you perspective? I'm hanging out with Chuck all day. Easy. We've been riding around in vans.
Easy. We don't need this to come up in court, John. Don't put this.
You've texted my ex-wife. Yeah. You know that all of this is not good.
We're on our way to the forum. Chuck's smoking weed in the taxi. Then we get to the game.
I asked permission, and she said yes.
And then we get to the game. I make a few off-color, although not profane, remarks. Chuck's head whips around like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. He's like, there are children here.
Well,
you may not speak this way.
I just was giving you an understanding that we should probably stay away from scatological humor, where people are literally getting pooped on in the joke.
Look,
so I'm a man of morals.
Right.
As evidenced for where my phone is.
But back to the Grizzlies.
Right now.
Yes. I have some hope. They look competitive, at least. They're not winning at all.
My hope is built
in the games.
Right. My hope is built on their schedule has been really hard.
Right.
Even if they played well, we assumed of these 9 games, you know, they might go 5-4. Like they had a West Coast road trip against legit good teams. The only one people are upset about is getting blown out by the Blazers. Mm-hmm. But John and I, again, preseason both thought the Blazers would be pretty good and right. It's going to be hard to play there. And they're a fast, streaky team, which you know, right. They can give you trouble. Not overwhelmingly, I don't know, distraught. If the Grizzlies lose to the Trailblazers at home, if they lose to the Timberwolves, if they lose to the Durantless Thunder, then it's, yeah, sure. I'm going to be back to full-blown panic.
Right.
Question, as outside, not huge Grizz guy, do you guys see this team's trajectory as being past its peak? Or do you think
absolutely.
That? Absolutely. So we're at a place now where they're good, but they're not as good as they once were.
2 years ago for me is their peak.
Right.
And I think if Conley, you hope Conley could peak, there's no reason he should be past his prime.
He's the crux of the argument.
So Conley's been terrible. Courtney Lee has been awful. You assume if these guys all get their funk back, and also every other year the Grizzlies have gone through weeks where they got obliterated by every team they played. Even going back to Lionel days, like there would be 3 games in a row where they just got crushed, and you're like, this is the worst. So I need to find out what the Vegas, the Grizzlies title odds are right now. Cause this is buying low. Stock has bottomed out.
Right.
I'm ready to get in.
No, I'm down to be a Grizz fan now. Cause no one will ever call me a bandwagon fan.
Also we've to repeat ourselves and the way that the season is playing out, 40 wins.
Right.
Might get you in the West.
Everybody's killing each other.
Everybody is. Yeah. It's killing each other off. So, I think that the defensive ability of the second unit can now match the first unit. And I like the fact that apparently like Tony got called out by Mark,
yeah.
Which I love. And Tony is not mad about it. He's like, Mark needs to call me out. So
Mark,
I like
Mark the Shark is still in full effect.
And if Gasol keeps scoring, he scored 26 against the Warriors. If Mark keeps being aggressive with that shot, as long as they get the ball to Mark early,
early
John,
in the
you
shot
said,
clock,
yeah.
If, Here's how there are 2 Grizzlies possessions at this point. There used to be 3 because Conley used to create also, but he's not this year. You either pass the ball to Mark early in the shot clock or somebody's going to take a terrible shot.
So I mentioned last week that I thought they were trying to play fast and it wasn't working, although I've had it pointed out to me that they were 26th in pace still. I think what I was seeing with my eyes was anytime a Grizzly takes a 20-foot jumper or a 16-foot jumper 5 seconds into the clock, I felt like I was seeing that a lot, where they're like, oh, I'm kind of open, maybe I should fire this up. Where it's like, yes, if you're on a good shooting team, that's a good shot. For the Grizzlies with 20 seconds left, I would rather still throw it into the post. Let's be last in pace.
Yes.
Right? Like, let's.
We have to grit and grind. That's all we can do.
But again, I like what we've seen from Jermichael. Hopefully he sticks in. Courtney Lee needs to wake up, and Mike Conley's been atrocious. So I think
Conley's been the biggest disappointment.
If these are the swoons, the up and downs, the ebbs and flows of a season, it's fine with starting early. It's also one of those good. It's good to get this out. Last year they went 3 months thinking they were awesome.
Yes,
thinking they were like the second, third best team in the NBA.
Right.
And then
the Jeff Green trade put them over the top.
And then hit a swoon, and then you're still happy with how they finished in the playoffs. It's kind of good to get this swoon where you get your face bashed in early. You're like, we're good.
I'm also heartened by the front office's willingness to make moves, as small as they may be.
And I also am heartened, as you say, I feel like my trust has been paid off several times by this front office.
Right.
I know Bano is beloved in the city and seems like a really great guy. His Twitter is so positive. We've mentioned it many times before, but I was like,
We got to get rid of Bano.
We got to find someone who can play basketball. Like, I don't think he has it this year. And they haven't waited. They went ahead, said things are going bad. Let's get Bano.
Can I close this out?
I'm
going to draw up a wanted poster. If you see a man in a Grizzlies toboggan, Grizzlies scarf, Zeebo jersey, cuffed jeans, and what power listener Jamie Holland called Fat Albert shoes. That dude's looking for his phone.
Help him out.
And is looking for about $100.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody get Boogie Chuck Anderson his money.
I love that Drunk Chuck gave what we're accurately referring to as a street person. $100.
No, but she got me.
She's like, hey, I'm gonna go. I gotta go get
no,
in
no,
here.
No. This is how it worked. We're standing out front. I'm smoking a cigarette. She asked me for a cigarette. I said, yeah, sure. She starts asking me some questions. She's like, hey, you party? I got some things. I was like, yeah. She sells me in the alley behind Sophie's.
Okay, I'm canceling
easily,
the podcast.
Sells you some things.
I purchased things from her. So now there is a goodwill between the two of us. I trust her. She says, baby,
Mark,
you need anything else?
Yeah,
she got me.
You got me.
I know what just happened.
You got grifted.
Looking back, I got grifted.
She was grifted.
She was so caring and compassionate and gentle towards me and felt very maternal. So I followed her after asking her if there was any other things she could have me get. And I did.
Chuck was like Lamar Odom messed up. Like,
oh, I was trashed.
Dennis Rodman in Vegas.
So the moral...
We've been drinking since 2.
Moral of the story, boys and girls, use Venmo, use PayPal.
Don't get in the bus.
Can't rip you off. Don't
get in the party bus.
Don't get in the party bus. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. You guys, have a good one. You are the best.
Arrive safely. Watch out, oh, watch out.